I wanted to start off today with a bit of a riddle. And we love doing riddles around our house. I'm hopeless. So this is like, it's kind of probably a bad dad riddle. Is there such a thing as a bad dad riddle? This is probably going to be pretty close. That's probably going to make my kids feel pretty embarrassed. But I'm going to do the best I can to make this not bad. But I wonder if you can come up with the answer. What is over 3,000 years old and still living? That's the right answer, Jesus, but it's not the right answer to my riddle. But Jesus is a good start. Okay, well, this is going well. I've stumped a few people. What's like 3,000 years old and still alive? Anyone got it? All right, I'm going to answer that for you. It's a tree, and it's down in Tasmania, and I saw it in my sabbatical down at Cataract Gorge. If anyone's been to Launceston, this tree is a redwood tree, and it's kind of a little bit off the main path. And go back to the first image there, Mike, because I was incredibly moved by just how big this tree is. And look, how much do you trust the signs that you read? I guess I do. And anyway, according to this sign, this tree is estimated to be around 3,000 years old. That's incredible, isn't it? I was standing there looking at this tree thinking, wow, when this was a little sapling, Jesus wasn't on the earth yet. And when you look at just how huge this tree is, and you go to the next slide, and it's like it just kept going. I know that doesn't do an image justice, but it just keeps going and going and going. And the realization that this enormous tree started as a little tiny seed. There's something quite humbling, isn't there? When we think about our little 80 years on this earth, this tree was there long, long, long before us. And if Jesus doesn't come back, it'll be there long after us. And it's like the sands of time just cover it over, and yet that tree just stands there. But from a little tiny seed, something so enormous could actually grow. And here's the principle for us. What you plant, it will grow. The seeds that you put in your life will actually grow. And if those seeds are not the Word of God, if those seeds are not the values and the ethics of the kingdom of God, then those seeds that you sow in your life, that will actually grow. And the same can be said about the Word of God. When the Word of God becomes the seeds that we plant into our life, it will grow too. This is a challenge today to reflect. What seeds are you planting in your life? And I'll say a little bit more about that. God desires that each disciple of Jesus would actually grow. And we have this great prophetic vision from Isaiah. Let me read it for you and just take a moment to have a look at this image of the oak tree. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Just have a look at that tree. Have a look at the branches. Look how low the branches go to the ground. Look how far the oak tree reaches out. Who is the they in this vision? And let me say that that redwood tree in Tasmania was a sapling when this vision was spoken in the book of Isaiah. Who is the they? It's you. It's me as disciples of Jesus. And look, we are to be on display for God's splendor. The vision is this, that we are the oak tree in our world. We are a display of God's splendor to save, to free, to love, to grow, to heal, to use. We are that oak of righteousness. We are. Our life is on display for the world to see, and we are part of God's splendor. Wow. And you think, what, me? How can I be a part of that? But if only you really knew the real me. Well, you see, that's what I love about God. He does. And he takes you just as you are. And if you are willing, he will grow you into an incredible oak tree, a beautiful display of the power of God to save. But you and I have to be willing. Our yes to God matters. Our heart's desire in 2020 is that this year that we will place ourselves in a position where God will grow us and shape us and redefine us in Christ. It's God's will that we would grow in our freedom in Christ. And as we've been saying, the deeper we go into the Word of God, the greater the freedom in Christ that we will experience. Jesus said this, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you are really a disciple of Jesus, then you will hold to all of his teachings. And when you hold to that truth, it's that truth, and that truth alone, that will set you free. So what do we got to do? We've got to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the teachings of Jesus, into the Word of God. We've got to get the Word of God that's like a great seed into our life, because what you plant will grow. And I don't need to tell you that we are living in a time where there is immense pressure to compromise our faith, to become a comfortable, lukewarm Christian that just blends in. I don't need to tell you that it is not easy to be a disciple of Jesus in our community today. Have you ever had that experience where you've dived deep down into the water? Have you ever felt that pressure? You don't really need to go too deep in the water to feel the pressure, do you? If you found yourself at a pool yesterday, that's a good thing. I was there at Ingerdene Pools with my boys, and I just experienced again just the deep end at Ingerdene Pools there as you just get right down to the bottom trying to escape the sun. You just kind of feel that pressure of the water. It just kind of like pressures against your temple. It's just this incredible pressure. Well, let me tell you that being a Christian in Australia right now is like diving deep down into pressurized water that just wants to kind of take you out. And if we settle for any of these, we will become lukewarm. There is pressure just to hide your faith away. There is pressure to just water down the teachings of Jesus. There's real pressure to just conform. We live in this "I must have" culture. I must have. And if you give your life to that, you'll feel the pressure to become just like what the world wants you to be. Just focus on yourself. There is pressure to just blend in and not stand out at all. And if we choose to settle for any of these, what will ultimately happen is that we will start a cycle of no growth. Remember, what seeds you plant in your life will grow. And when we settle for no growth, when we settle to just blend in, when we settle to just conform, when we settle to just hide our faith away, not only does a cycle of no growth happen, but we get very comfortable there. We're creatures of comfort, aren't we? When we find ourselves in a place of great comfort, who wants to leave that place? Nobody. And so what happens when we're comfortable, guess what ultimately happens? The consequence for settling for any of that is that we become lukewarm. We're not called to be lukewarm. Our faith is not to represent the color beige. We are to be colorful trees of God's righteousness for the world to see. We're not called to blend in. We're called to stand out. And so we're trusting that the Lord is going to bring great growth in our discipleship this year. We were at the lighthouse a couple of weeks ago, and I got this little image. Incredible family of CBC, and as these kids grow, their faith just gets deeper and deeper. We gave them some journals with their name embossed on it, and that night we asked if they would write down their favorite verse. I was thinking if we asked Aussie kids, we might get one or two. These kids were so zealous, they wrote their favorite verse in the first page, and on the next day, they stood up and they shared all over Scripture, from Genesis to Malachi to Isaiah to New Testament to John to Ephesians, and they shared something of the Word of God for them. And as each of these kids were sharing, I was thinking, wow, these seeds in their soul will grow these kids to be a beautiful tree, an oak of righteousness for God's display. And that's our heart's desire at CBC. That the deeper we go into God's Word, the greater the freedom, the bigger the growth. And it's our heart's desire that as you leave here this afternoon or this evening, that in your heart, I am praying right now, in my mind, as I speak, that the Spirit of God will stir within you a desire for God's Word, a thirst to read the Word of God again, a thirst to get the seeds of God's Word into your soul, because that is what will bring great growth. I very briefly just want to touch on a very important reality for us. What is this going to take? It's going to take a rhythm of grace and growth. Grace and growth. I want to just touch on grace and growth just for a few moments, because our freedom in Christ, it really begins with God's grace, His scandalous forgiveness that He's lavished on our soul. Jesus said these words, "To Him who loves us and has freed us from sins by His blood." Don't reduce that. Look what He's done. By His blood. We celebrated that around the communion table. By His blood, through His love, He has freed us. And yet, life is a struggle. We struggle with our own sin. There is a fleshy side to us that is selfish and desires the temptations and the lures of this world and all the pleasures around us. We struggle with our relationships. We struggle financially. We struggle with our health. Is there anywhere in life where we don't struggle? Life is a struggle. But here is the vision, that we would find freedom in the struggle. Jesus doesn't promise that if you follow Him, He'll make you just healthy, wealthy, and wise. No, if you follow Him, you'll find freedom in the struggle. And it starts with God's grace. It starts with just saying, "Lord, help me." That's how it starts. A cry that says, "Lord, help me. I'm reaching out for you." And here's the truth. God's already reached out for you. His hand is there. You just got to reach out and grab hold of it. It starts with, "I need you." And we get to then experience the power of God's forgiveness, His grace. Before we even get to the growth, it starts with grace. God's forgiveness is a powerful act from a generous God. And I feel on certain days just how flawed I am. I feel the weight and the reality of my sin. I too need to continue to cry out every day, "Lord, I need you. Forgive me." And when we reach out to God with just that simple prayer, we do experience a power greater than ourselves to overcome what we can't in our own strength. And it's called God's grace. Just reach out for Him. "I need you, God." I think so often we do that as a last resort. I know this is a very familiar verse to us, 1 John 1:9. It reads this way, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and forgives us all our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness." I just want to look at this word cleanse. I think so often we just overlook this word cleanse. Let me just draw a few moments' attention to a very powerful reality indeed. Cleanse means that God just washes completely clean. You know what? Satan will always remind you of your sins so that you'd feel guilty and condemned. The world reminds you of what you've done wrong. But what I love about God is that He cleanses, He washes clean, He remembers no more. His grace, His forgiveness is like a relentless waterfall. Have you ever been in a waterfall before? The force of that water you would remember. We love going out to Borroloola to bless our Borroloola family. This next image only looks like a small waterfall. It's called Edith Falls. And you need to swim, and you're grateful for the swim. It's so hot in Darwin. And you swim out to this waterfall. And it's probably the first and only waterfall that I've really been to. But you try climbing up those rocks with the power of that water coming down on you. It's immensely difficult. Plus, the rocks are slippery. But I just always remember just being under that waterfall, feeling just the relentless power of that water. And can I say, that is an incredible image of God's forgiveness on our life. It's like we are standing under God's waterfall of forgiveness that never, ever ends. And when a smudge of sin comes on us, that waterfall just washes it clean. Satan tries to remind you what you've done. The world tries to condemn you. But God remembers your sin no more. His grace, it's scandalous because it just completely washes us clean every single day. Look at these incredible verses. Psalm 32. Blessed is he or she whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Isaiah 38, 17. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. Isaiah 48. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Got to read this closely. And remembers your sins no more. Our rebellion against God, it's covered. It's behind God's back. He remembers no more. His forgiveness is like a mighty waterfall that constantly washes us clean until He comes again or we breathe our last. You are forgiven. Now follow the King. You are forgiven. Now follow Him. You're not forgiven to never grow, you are forgiven so that you will grow. Grace comes before growth, but growth will always come out of grace. God desires that we would grow. And God's word brings genuine and authentic freedom. In the parable of the sower, Jesus reflects on four seeds that fell on four very different contexts. And that seed just represents the power of God's word. Some of that seed fell on the path. Satan came along and stole that seed away. Some seed fell on the rock. It didn't grow because when hard times hit, that word, people just stopped believing. Jesus said some seed falls amongst the weeds, and that really represents that the worries of this life, the wealth and the pleasures of this life just choke that word. And then there's the seed that fell on good soil. But we need to hear the warning today. What seeds you plant in your life will grow. If you plant a seed in your life of lust, it will grow. If you plant a seed in your life of unforgiveness, that unforgiveness will grow into bitterness and resentment. Whatever seeds you put in your life, it will grow. It doesn't stay a seed. It grows. And it can grow to choke your faith. And that's the warning from Jesus today, from His word. But check this out. Seed that fell on good soil. Jesus said this. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. How do we produce good fruit, great growth out of God's grace? It's by hearing the word of God. It's by remembering the word of God and by persevering do the word of God. You have everything you need to grow as a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, you want to bear fruit? Here it is. You need to hear the word of God. You need to remember the word of God. And by persevering, do the word of God, and you will produce fruit. But if you're planting seeds in your life that is not the word of God, you won't grow. You won't grow. You'll be stuck in a cycle of no growth. But you've been saved for much more than that. You've been saved by Jesus so that you will grow, but you've got to plant his word in your soul. And so it's our heart's desire that in this year, that you would leave from here today in your heart saying, I want to recommit to reading the word of God. I believe that as Christians, we have forgotten to do that. Come back to the word of God. Start to read it again. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that truth. But I just pray that as you leave today, in your heart, you're saying, yes, I want to read the word of God. I want to go deeper into his word and nothing else but his word. It's our heart's desire that in your head that you would go, you know what, it makes sense to join a life group from the morning service or a missional family in the evening service, because we need to work out our own salvation, but we can do that in community. We need each other for accountability and encouragement. And it's our heart's desire that in your mind you'd go, yes, it makes sense just to put my name down and become part of a life group. And it's our heart's desire that your feet would actually carry you to church regularly on a Sunday. Because as we come into the house of the Lord, this is a space where we can experience the power of God to transform as we meet together. Don't miss out on that. Don't think for a second that being inconsistent at church won't affect your faith. The inconsistencies of church, I think, adds to our temptation to conform and to become lukewarm. Let your feet carry you to the house of the Lord so that you would worship Jesus and be strengthened. Be consistent. Dive into the Word of God. And we will actually become together a tree, an oak of God's righteousness, because God wants to use us to stand out in the world. May we be a church that doesn't become so lukewarm that we're just stuck in this comfortable cycle of no growth. Jesus has given us everything we need to grow. Jesus said, these are not my words, his words. You need to hear the word. You need to remember the word. And by persevering, you need to do the word. And Jesus says, you'll produce fruit. Go away from that. And I'm nervous for you. As a pastor and leader of this church, I'm nervous that if you're not seeking God during the week in his word, I'm really nervous for your faith. Because there's too much temptation to compromise, to blend in, and just to become a lukewarm Christian. You don't have to be. It's a choice that you make. But when you say yes to God, he just comes in with his power. And he will grow us. His spirit will grow us. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time where we can hear the challenge of your word. Lord, we are really sorry when we take your word lightly. We are sorry when we just ignore your word. When we water down your word, when we think that we can grow outside of your word. Father, we're sorry. Father, we want to come back. We want to take seriously your teachings, Jesus. We want to take seriously the whole of your word, that we would plant great seeds of truth from you in our soul so that we can grow to be an oak of righteousness. Jesus, you've given us everything we need to grow. So, Lord, I pray that as we step in to greater fellowship, to a greater commitment to live out your word, Father, I just cannot wait for the testimonies written on that wall of your power in our life to overcome. I thank you that it starts with your grace. Your forgiveness is like a waterfall of your love over our life. It is never ending. And I thank you that we are set free, forgiven, and loved. We want to grow, God. We want to really grow this year. Take us, shape us. Here we are, ready to do what you desire from us. In Jesus' name, amen.